Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Shine Radio's Growing Together is sponsored by DeMello & Company. Financial advice for you, your family and your future.
Good morning and welcome to Growing Together, the gardening podcast from Petersfield Shine Radio. I'm Steve Amos and I am very excited, as you can probably tell by my voice. I am on my way to RHS Chelsea Flower Show. I'm dressed the part with a massive thanks to Hector's from Petersfield for this amazing shirt, and I've got an action-packed day planned. A number of interviews already arranged with the likes of Kate Cottrell from She Grows Veg and Anne-Marie Powell, local garden designer, lives up in Sheet, and multi-award-winning garden designer, and talking to her about her Octavia Hill inspired garden. A number of other people I want to bump into, and hopefully we'll get some great interviews. So looking forward to the day. Hope you enjoy. Thanks for listening. I am on my way to the Chelsea Flower Show, and by happy accident I bumped into a very fine gentleman called Kyle. Kyle, good morning.
Good morning.
Kyle, tell me, you work for RHS Wisley. What's your role at Wisley?
I'm an education officer at RHS Wisley, so I get to show school groups around and teach some workshops that are all about the plants, and it's a free offer, so we get to access lots of schools who wouldn't otherwise be able to come.
That sounds literally like my dream job, Kyle. And what are you doing here today at Chelsea? Obviously, you said to me earlier on the train that it's your first time at Chelsea. What's your role here today?
It is my first time at Chelsea, and it's press day, so I feel very lucky to be here. I'm helping show some local primary students around to judge some of the show gardens with their own score sheets, which is exciting. And it's linked to the Campaign for School Gardening, which is a national initiative by the RHS to get schools gardening more.
Sounds amazing. I dread to think what some of the kids are going to come up with from their judging. Have you seen their judging sheets, have you, Kyle?
I have. It's nothing like the official ones.
I can imagine. Can you think of some of the categories that they've put on there?
Well, I think one is it a good place to play? So I don't know how the designers will feel about that, but they'll be looking at it through their own child eyes in a different way. So it'll be really interesting to see what their favourite one is.
I love this. I think, you know, well, hopefully, we've already talked about getting in touch after the show. I'd love to hear about some of the results from the judging.
There will be a Kids' Choice Award garden, so we should know, I think, by day or tomorrow.
Oh, man, that's amazing. As a garden designer, I'm not sure how people will feel about being the Kids' Choice, but I think certainly from my perspective about getting young people into gardening, and certainly talking to you earlier, Kyle, you know, it's really important to get young people into gardening, and I think this is a great step into that.
I do too. I think it's one of my main kind of motivations is getting young people into gardening and outdoor space.
Absolutely. You know, it's so beneficial for all of us, isn't it? But I think especially young people, the iPad generation, we were talking about that earlier as well, weren't we? You know, kids just, through no fault of their own sometimes, just glued to their phones or their iPads. So getting kids and young people out into green spaces is so beneficial for their mental well-being.
I mean, I agree with all of that. I think we have to counter all the tech in our lives now. It's just a good reminder to slow down. It's good physically and mentally, and makes you care about nature more.
Absolutely. Kyle, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I'm glad we met on the train. You've got quite a loud shirt on. I don't know, whose is the loudest, yours or mine?
I think mine's a little brighter.
See and be seen is it today, isn't it? Well, listen, I hope to catch you on the showground. The best of luck today with the kids, and I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you.
So I'm joined in the Grand Pavilion by Kate and Lucy from She Grows Veg. Hi. Good morning, ladies.
Hi. Nice.
How are we?
Tired, stressed, exhausted, all of the above, but elated as well.
Do you know what? Your stand looks absolutely amazing. Oh, I was ironing my shirt last night, watching Gardener's World, and saw this, and I thought, well, I can't wait to come and see you guys. It looks brilliant.
Thank you. We're really pleased.
Yeah, no, yeah. You should be too. I mean, it's about time Veg got a bit more of the limelight, and you've even framed a Veg. So what was the inspiration behind that?
Well, we really wanted to elevate veg to the level of the ornamental plants, because veg growing and grow your own can have quite a humble homespun image to it. And that's lovely, but it's not necessarily something that resonates with everyone. We wanted to kind of make food as beautiful as we see it. We want people to see past the food, see the beautiful plants. So we thought we'd take inspiration from the people that did that best, from Renaissance painters. So that was the inspiration behind the stand.
Well, it's absolutely fantastic. What's your favourite frame?
Oh my goodness, how do I choose? That's asking who's my favourite child is.
Everyone has one, you know.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly. Well, Aunt, I absolutely adore tomatoes, and Lucy's a fan too. So I think we've got an incredible tomato called Mushroom Basket that's in one of the smaller frames, and it's absolutely standout. I think your eye goes to it straight away. And then there's another weird and wonderful courgette called a pineapple squash that's yellow.
I've seen those on the left-hand side.
Looks a bit like
here.
An alien, and that really draws the eye. But I think the thing about those frames is there's so much detail in them. So yes, we've got the placement of the veg, we've got live plants, we've got the whole life cycle, we've got seed, you know, plants growing, we've got harvested veg, and we've got the whole thing going on there, all in gilt frames.
No, it's absolutely brilliant. That tomato you were talking about looks like a love heart, doesn't
it? It's gorgeous. Yes. There is a heart-shaped one in there. It's absolutely fantastic.
So how can we get in touch with you guys? You're all about heirloom and heritage veg. How can we get in touch with you?
So shegrowsveg.com is where we're based. That's where all our seeds are. And we have loads of help and advice and recipes on there as well. And then for any social media users, check us out on Instagram at shegrowsveg.
Fantastic. Ladies, thank you so much for your time. Have an amazing day.
Thank you.
I'd love to have a picture in your frame if I can.
Yeah, let's do it.
Fantastic.
Do it.
Thank you very much. Anne-Marie, I'm joined at your absolutely amazing garden here. It's beautiful. So many colours, all the soft, lovely mauves, coppers. It's beautiful. What was your inspiration?
My goodness me, thank you. I'm still in it, sort of building it in my head. I haven't had a chance to appreciate it in many ways. My inspiration was Octavia Hill.
Yep.
So she is a founder of the National Trust, and I do believe that she was the Florence Nightingale, really, for our landscapes. Our landscapes and city spaces would be very different, was it not for her?
Without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to not see her as a historical figure. So she founded the National Trust in 1895. And so I've imagined, what would she be advocating for if she were alive today? So that's where the idea of an urban community wildlife garden sprung up.
Fantastic.
The garden is imagined to be in Southwark, so which is where she built her first garden, the Red Cross Garden, which still exists.
Okay. Yeah.
Still exists today. It's a place where there's a series of different sized open air sitting rooms so that you can be together with friends, family, Cub Scouts, school groups, what have you, or just to sit up there in our wildlife structure and curl up with a book.
Do you know what? So, the structures, we spoke before we started recording about the sculptures and what have you. These wooden sculptures are absolutely stunning.
Thank you. So they're all carved from British oak. It's all reclaimed timber from Storm Arwen. Do you remember in 2021? So they're all from National Trust woodlands.
Brilliant.
They were hand-carved by a great friend of mine, Kate Hanrahan, who's based in Bepton, like 5 miles from my office.
Lovely.
So, yeah. And all of the makers, actually, are all local to our studios and worked with and tried and trusted friends who are amazingly skilled, aren't they?
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah.
I mean, the craftsmanship that's gone into that. And this sort of pergola, this sort of beehive sort of structure pergola is again, absolutely stunning, with the reeds sort of almost look like cork behind there, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. So all of the hand-carved elements, they're all inspired by the patterns found in nature. Mm-hmm. But we're not telling anybody what those are actually derived from, because the more you look, the more you see, and the more part of the garden you feel, and then hopefully the more part of the natural environment you become.
Well, do you know what? It looks so inviting to go and sit, and I can't wait to go and have a little sit in the garden.
You must!
It's beautiful. You must be very proud.
Yeah, I am proud. I'm sort of like amazed, really. So, but one thing I would like to say is that this is the real world. Everything out there, nature made this,
yes.
And we're part of it too.
And your planting sort of really reflects that, doesn't it? It flows, the colours come down, and then you've got the water feature where it's really green, and then sort of goes to the back where you've got the what I call wrinkly tin, and it just all complements each other. It's just really
beautiful.
Yeah,
so that's our hoarding. That's the outside world.
But it looks like part of it.
Held back for a bit.
It's really beautiful. As I say, thank you for talking to me, and
no,
the very, very best of luck
for
the rest of the show.
Thank you. Really kind. Nice to see you.
Growing together.
I'm joined by garden designer Baz Granger at the Killick Garden, which is called Money Doesn't Grow on Trees. And as you may have gathered, it's all about money. Baz, lovely to meet you. Talk to me about the inspiration behind this garden.
Sure. So when we first sort of sat down to work out what we wanted to do with the garden, first thing that Killick said was, you know, we are all about family sort of financial planning, intergenerational financial security. And so they wanted the garden to be a space for a family to be able to talk about financial worries, anxieties in a very sort of safe and secure environment, and an environment that would kind of encourage that as well. So when we sort of laid the garden out, that's kind of where we started.
Do you know what? It's really weird, isn't it? Because we walked onto your beautiful garden and we've sat down in these chairs in the sunshine and the atmosphere changed immediately.
It is phenomenal. I mean, we're only, what, sort of 4 or 5 metres away from the front, and it is like you're stepping into a different place.
It's incredible. As we sort of approach, as you say, we're 4 or 5 metres away from the... I mean, it's not busy today, is it, really, by any stretch of the imagination, but there's a definite change, and I think the planting is really soft and mellow and lots of really soft colours and very soothing, I suppose, yes, for want of a better phrase.
Thanks for saying, but that's exactly what we wanted to get. I suppose the way the garden's been designed and constructed was to take away any sort of formality, because I think if you're walking into an environment and everything's very rigid and structured, it's not going to relieve any stress or anxiety or any kind of thoughts of worries. Even the hard landscaping, for example, we've used a dry stone in a very random sort of construction pattern rather than linear. All the panels are all different sizes, all the hedging is all different sizes. That was really just to enhance that idea of sort of visual informality, but that then kind of follows through into the planting. And I wanted to use plants that were recognisable by everybody, certainly in the UK, but we've done it in a way that's slightly different, in that we started with yellows and purples, so we have scientific data basically that backs up the reason why we're using them, in that, like, for example, if you walk into a yellow room and you're in that yellow room for 10 minutes, your stress level's reduced by over 50% in 10 minutes.
Is that right, is it?
Yeah, and this is scientific fact. And purple's the same. So the purple and yellow are the two most effective. And you don't have to do anything, you just be in the room.
That's amazing. And I think sat here, as I've already said, it is really calming. I was sat over in Anne-Marie's garden, which is all about Octavia, the founder of the National Trust. And again, it was very soothing, very soft. And it seems to be a theme at the show this year, that real sort of focus on people's mindset.
Oh, no, definitely. I think, you know, we all know as gardeners what effect being outside and having your hands in the dirt, you know, what that does to your mind and your mental health. And my experience actually of that is during COVID, we had an allotment and we were there every day with the kids. And, you know, in those lockdown times that we're all trying to forget, but it was an escape, a real escape. And it actually improved, you know, the whole family's mental health just by being out there every day. It was fantastic.
You're absolutely right, Baz. And one of my other hats that I wear, I actually run the Adhurst Estate Allotment down in Hampshire. We were overrun with people applying for allotments to the point that we actually, on one day, we had socially distanced meetings of probably 30 or 40 people, and out of those 30 or 40 people we had to pick 20 that on one day we opened a brand new allotment site on our fields, which was just amazing.
Yeah, phenomenal. When I first started thinking about the plants, that's why I was keen to use things that are recognisable, because as gardeners we sometimes we look around, things like Achillea, for example, you know, as a gardener you see it growing everywhere. I mean, it just grows out the grass, grows out the hedgerows, but actually when you use it in a slightly more controlled way and you're using it for colour, it becomes a really beautiful plant. And so that's what we've done here. It's actually one of the main plants. We've got Achillea just sort of dancing around the whole garden, adding a lovely shot of yellow, and then we've got the sort of Sersiums. We've got some slightly more unusual plants as well. So we've got the Baptisia over there. It's actually called Pink Lemonade. Such a beautiful plant. I think it's really
pretty.
Really underused.
Yeah, it's very pretty.
It's such a lovely, and it adds such a, you know, it's a very pale yellow that we've got here, but just fitting into that lovely colour palette, but also very textural as well. It's a very green garden, but that's purposeful as well, and we've done it so we could really introduce lots of different green textures into the garden. So we've got things like Bellotta, which almost has that sort of silvery leaf. The Achillea as well, that has a silvery leaf too.
You've got some hostas dotted in there and some digitalis and whatever. It flows. You can tell you're a garden designer, let's be honest.
Well, that's true. Probably more a garden designer than a gardener, but you know.
Didn't you, that, you know, about growing plants, and you say you design it and the wife looks after it.
That's true, yeah. So I'm always getting into trouble for sort of creating new things and then just leaving them. And then my other half is sort of says, well, are you going to, you know, you're going to do anything with it? Like, well, yeah, I'll get round to it. So she ends up sort of saving them. But yeah.
Well, you know what? We sat here and there's a bit of welcome breeze actually just been blowing. And this, I think my favourite bit of the garden, I have to say, I love trees. This silver birch that sort of frames, if you like, your the dry stone walling and the metal frame, which then leads to water. Just sounds amazing as well, doesn't it?
So we've got the silver birch that we're sitting under. It's actually, it's huge. When we were sort of stood in the field choosing it, it didn't look that big, but there was no sort of reference point.
No. But put it in a smaller space and it's a big one.
It is huge. It's the biggest one on this row for sure. The whole point of that was to create a canopy and create the dappled shade at the back of the garden. And actually, when you're in the back of the garden on the dining area, it's noticeably cooler.
Yeah.
Because of the tree.
Yeah.
I mean, the other two trees, we've got a beautiful Acer campestre, which is one of our sort of native field maples. And then the star tree is the elm. We have a beautiful elm tree, which is almost Hollandica Jaclyn Hillier. So it is a dwarf variety, but discovered in 1965 by Roy Lancaster.
Oh, right, okay.
Resistant to Dutch elm and taken by Hilliers to cultivate, and named after Hillier's wife, so Jaclyn Hillier. So it's got a lovely story, but it's a beautiful,
beautiful tree. Do you know what, Baz, it's a very, very beautiful garden. I know you're extremely busy, so I just want to thank you for your time and wish you the very, very best of luck for the rest of the show.
No, thank you very much. Lovely to talk to you.
Well, I'm joined here today with somebody who's more associated with a kitchen rather than gardening, at Dame Preleith. How are you?
The two are really closely involved, aren't they? I mean,
well, they certainly are.
Yeah, I mean, my husband is the veg grower, so he grows... And I cook, and I complain about all the bugs in the cabbages and stuff. But you know what? A few bugs is what you pay.
Extra protein, my dad used to say.
Yeah, extra protein. And you pay for the fact that you're not pouring chemicals on your food.
Absolutely. And are you a keen gardener yourself?
I am.
Are you?
I'm less good at it now because I'm so busy.
Yes.
That I don't get enough time. So I'm rather sort of... We have a wonderful gardener who's here today, so that's good, so we can go around admiring things together.
Fantastic.
So she does the hard work, and she and my husband between them.
Okay.
And I do the sort of, you know, I like trough gardening. I'm now a very old lady, not having to get down on my hands
and knees.
So
raised up a bit, easy to get to, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm very spoiled. I do the pretty bits.
Fantastic. Well, why not? Have you had a good look round this morning?
Yeah, absolutely lovely.
What's your standout bit for yourself so far today?
Well, you know, funnily enough, it's not gardening, but I really love Hamish Mackie's sculptures.
Yes, they're beautiful, aren't they?
Yeah. And there's a sculpture here which I don't know who's by, but it's made of wood and it's a dragon. Huge, great thing.
I've not seen that yet.
It's absolutely enormous.
Is it?
It's absolutely enormous. Unfortunately, because it's made of wood, it won't last forever. And I'm sure it'll cost a fortune, but I'm really lusting after it.
Oh, fantastic.
I quite want it.
Well, look, I really appreciate your time. I know you're super busy, but thank you so much for your time.
No, it's fine. Good luck with the gardening.
Thank you. So I'm joined here outside the National Autistic Society garden with CMAT, musician from Ireland. How
yes.
are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Like me, this is your first time at Chelsea?
Yes. This is so much better than I even could have imagined it was going to be. I've never seen so many very happy people.
So have you had a chance to walk around much?
Yes, we have. We were in an amazing garden over there where we kind of walked up some steps and sat down, and there was a Beatles record playing, and I looked out through the circular window,
man.
And there was a massive Japanese garden. Like, the competitive gardens are really something else.
They really are.
It's really full user experience, like, and it's all super accessible. Like, everyone is just in the best form I've ever seen anyone in my life.
Yeah, I was saying to you before we started recording, that's the thing that I love about horticulture.
Yeah.
Is people are just so happy to share
what
they do and their passion. And I think if you show interest and a passion like theirs, they're just happy to talk to you.
I love gardening. I haven't done it in a while because I basically live on a tour bus now.
Oh, like,
I've been on tour for about 3 years. I lived with my nanny and granddad for 7 years, and not so much flowers, but he grows a lot of vegetables out the back. He grows a lot of crops and stuff. We had a massive polytunnel. I'd have to see to the polytunnel. We had tomatoes
Amazing.
Coming in every day. So I'm really, really obsessed with growing, and I've always been around it, and I've just never gotten to see it on such a like refined level. Like, I kind of believe in, like, if you have a bit of dirt, you have to put something in it.
Absolutely.
You know, and it doesn't have to look good, but it has to serve a purpose. But this is a different
thing
altogether.
It's on a different level, isn't it? No, it really
is. It's so beautiful. Yeah. It's so beautiful.
And, you know, we all have busy lives. It sounds like yours is busier than most.
Yeah.
And I think getting into green spaces is vitally important for our mental well-being.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see enough daylight, let alone green spaces. I'm on cloud nine because it's like, oh my God, I'm outdoors and there's grass and there's people living. And you know, it is life, right? It's like full life and like seeing something from beginning to end here. And I love the beginning of summer. Like, I love May. I love the tomatoes coming in. It's just very euphoric.
So for those that don't know you, like I was, apologies, but your genre of music is?
It's alternative country pop, I would say.
So do you think there'd be any inspiration from Chelsea this year
in
your songs?
I just spent a lot of time going through the desert in America. And I have to say, I'm really interested in seeing if there's any cacti or any, like, you know, desert vegetation around.
You need to go into the main pavilion.
Wow.
There's some fantastic South African plants. There's a wow. guy there that does carnivorous plants as well. Go and have a look around there. Honestly,
oh,
it's amazing.
Because that's my... I really got into, you know, being through LA and Arizona and stuff as I was for a lot of the last year, like, coming across vegetation that I never even knew would have existed is, yeah. like, really, really amazing. So, amazing. Yeah, I'm excited to see some of that. And that's very inspiring to me.
Fantastic. Well, listen, I'm going to let you get on with your day. Thanks so much for talking to me. I'm in the Grand Pavilion again and stood in front of the heady smell of sweet peas and my old pal, Darren Everest. How are you?
Very good, thank you very much, yes.
The last time we chatted, it was at Hampton Court and Dahlias. Sweet peas this time. Second time at Chelsea.
Yeah,
old hat
yeah,
now, mate.
Yeah, second time, yeah. Things went a little smoother this year than last, so... Yeah, but it was still very tight as to whether we would get here with flowers because couldn't have done this 3 days ago. They wouldn't have been
ready. 3 days?
Yeah, 3 days ago I could never have done this. They weren't ready.
Really?
Yeah,
my
it was
goodness.
That close to the wire.
They look like paintings, Darren. I'll take a picture to post online, but they look like paintings. They're absolutely beautiful. How do you get the blooms like this?
Well, I'd love to say that it was all down to my own skill and hard work, but I'd say a lot of it is down to good old-fashioned Mother Nature and just hoping and praying that the weather comes right at the right time.
And the varieties as well.
Yeah, it's a nice big selection of varieties. We put some more brighter colours in this year.
Okay.
Because they are a wow against the black background that we use. I generally like growing the pastel shade, but you need a bit of colour and a bit of wow factor.
How many varieties do you grow?
I grow 18 varieties of Spencer ones that I grow in quantity to put on the display.
Yes.
And then about another half a dozen old-fashioned ones as well. Which, but they haven't quite made it. We've managed to find three, get three ready, but hopefully by...
And they're in the little vase on the,
yeah,
on the table there.
Yeah, 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 middle of the week, there might be a few, couple more varieties come in. That they were just showing colour yesterday but weren't quite ready. So,
you're going to go home midweek?
No, I'm not going home. My parents go down on Wednesday morning and my dad cuts another batch. I meet them at Wisley and we swap over there and then I bring them
right,
back up Wednesday evening and spend all Wednesday evening refreshing and replacing the whole lot again.
Well, it's a bit of jeopardy meeting at Wisley at the moment though, isn't it?
It's going to be, yeah, fun and games.
It's carnage.
That
Junction 10 junction,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's awful, but one of those things we've just got to get through.
Have you had a chance to walk around other exhibits yet?
Not really. We've had a brief walk around the pavilion, but not really outside yet. You know, we had a brief look for Wednesday evening while there was still a lot of hustle and bustle.
Yeah, but, yeah, I can imagine.
But no, we will get to have a chance at some point over the week to have a good look around. But
there's some amazing gardens out there. But this is visually really, really eye-catching. I think, you know, as you said, with the black background and then the pop of colour, they're absolutely beautiful.
Well, I hope so. You know, we were lucky enough to get a silver gilt last year at our first attempt. I'd like to think it's at least worth the same. Who knows what the judges are going to do? But
and I suppose, is it different judges every year or is it the same judges?
I have no idea.
Not a clue.
No idea. But I've had a couple of judges that haven't judged it, judge other things, and they've told me that I should be getting a good award. So
fingers
crossed.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I'm just thrilled. We were just thrilled to be able to get here this year.
Yes.
With anything.
The weather's been awful, hasn't it?
Oh, it's been the worst winter that I've ever known for growing conditions, and it's just been so wet.
Well, I overheard you talking to gardening royalty just before we're talking with Medwin Williams up on Anglesey, and he was saying, you know, a neighbour of his keeps a track of the weather. You say it's the wettest in like 40 years or something?
Oh, something like that, yeah. I didn't, yeah.
Yeah,
I,
crazy.
Ridiculous amount of rain, and it's just been a quagmire the whole garden. I've not been able to work hardly any of it, so yeah, just to get here to put some flowers on the bench, you know, if I don't win any prize, I don't mind this year, because just to be here is an achievement in itself. So anything more than that is a bonus. Yeah.
And do you grow them outside, Darren, or are they in a polytunnel? How do you grow them?
These are all grown in the polytunnel to get them out for the end of May or third week in May.
When would you usually expect to see sweet peas flowering?
Really, sort of towards the end of June.
Yeah.
Yeah, middle to the end of June. Just depends on the weather. Get cold nights, beginning of June, and all the buds fall off. And it's the same.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if it goes below 8 degrees at night, all the buds fall off. And if it's a big difference between day and nighttime temperature, the buds also fall off. So I say they're very feminine, sweet peas.
Careful.
They are beautiful.
Delicate.
Delicate. They've got a beautiful aroma, lovely scent, but they can test your patience to the limit. It depends which way the wind's blowing as to what mood they're in. So, yeah, very feminine.
Well, let's move on from there. you cheat nature, essentially.
Yeah, to get them out, you've got to grow them undercover to get them out this early.
And is that heated, the polytunnel?
I've had to put the heating on, certainly in early May. That was the key week. Try and keep it above that 8 degrees.
Yes.
Well, we had some cold nights. So, and trying to heat a big polytunnel is expensive.
Yes.
And difficult just to keep it above.
Do you use electric heaters?
Just electric heater.
Do you? Okay.
And a fan as well, colder fan, just to keep the air circulation moving. Although it helped, a lot of the buds still fell off. So 3 weeks ago, I was as miserable as sin and thought we weren't going to get here.
You've made it, yeah. And it's fantastic. I mean, for us layman sweet pea growers, I know you do things very differently as a, I'll call it a professional grower, and I know you won't like being called a professional grower, I'm sure. But give us your top three tips of growing the best blooms, as close as we can get to this.
Well, I would say these days, I would say sow in January. The climate is sort of telling us that is the time to sow now.
Okay.
You're more likely to get a successful planting season in if you sow in January now.
Yeah.
I would say plant out beginning of April. And I would say if you're growing in the garden, instead of growing up a wigwam, which is what a lot of people have always done, is just put them in a wigwam, plant them in a column. They want really, and ideally, an inverted wigwam, because the plants are only going to get bigger. They want to go outwards, not in.
Okay.
If you grab a wigwam, they get all stuck at the top and all intertwined.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get all bendy stems. And they want air circulation. Otherwise, you can get mildew problems. So if you give them...
Well, that will explain my corkscrew stems, then.
Yeah. So make up a ring or a column of bamboo canes, like 7-foot bamboo canes would do. Just put them up a ring. Bit of galvanised wire, make a circle at the top, and then just a bit of jute twine wrapped all the way around, and allow all the plants just to grow up through the column. Plenty of air circulation.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I grow mine, it's basically a trellis. So an 8-foot wide trellis, 6-foot high,
yep.
And the plants are planted at the bottom of that, and they can choose which way they go up. That same sort of thing, would that work?
Similar sort of thing. They just, as long as they've got air circulation. Or you can grow them up PNB netting, anything like that, just allow plenty of air circulation and give them the space to breathe. You know, they don't want to be all constricted at the top.
No,
you know, want nice long stems. You know,
you're
not going to get long stems without giving them some space.
Space.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Darren, the very, very best of luck tomorrow morning. It's been lovely talking to you.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Take care.
Take care. Cheers.
I'm still in the Great Pavilion, and I'm now talking to Sparsholt College. And I'm talking to Lucy and...
Chloe.
Lucy, you're a lecturer at
Sparsholt. Yes.
And Chloe, you're a student.
Yes.
Is she a good teacher?
She is a good teacher. Very good. She has to say that, doesn't she?
Absolutely. So what are you guys doing here?
We enter a garden in the Discovery Zone each year.
Yes.
This year, we're celebrating our 125th birthday.
Wow.
So Sparsholt College is 125 next year, but we're getting a bit ahead of the game on the party.
Like it.
Our garden is called Plants, Roots and Branches, and we're celebrating kind of all the career opportunities that people in the industry can take, where our previous students have gone, where our current students, Chloe, example A, may go after she's finished college, and just kind of celebrating the college and all things horticulture.
Fantastic. And what are you doing at Sparsholt, Chloe?
I am doing a level 3 extended diploma in horticulture.
And what does that involve?
It's actually really practical. So we've got a lot of soil science, landscape and construction, plant ident. The list literally goes on. It's so vast.
Do you enjoy it?
I love it. Absolutely love it.
Were you interested in horticulture before you went to the college, or was it something you've kind of fallen into?
Well, I was a career changer. So I actually went to uni and did special effects, and then ended up having 2 kids.
Right.
I took a break, and then it was in COVID that I found my love for plants.
Brilliant.
And then came
to Sparsholt. It's infectious,
isn't it? Yes, it really is, yeah.
So have you got a garden at home?
Yes, I do. Yes.
And is it your lab?
It's my baby. I absolutely love it. Yeah, literally continually experimenting with it and what fits in there all the time.
Amazing. The courses on offer at Sparsholt are vast, aren't they?
Yes,
there's so many, from veterinary stuff to horticulture and everything in between.
Yeah.
What sort of things is a good course for somebody that wants, like Chloe, that wants to go on a career change? What's the best sort of path for them to take?
Very much depends on what industry they want to go into. I can only speak from horticulture. I'd say come along to one of our open events, have a chat with us. We have part-time options, apprenticeships, full-time options. We do really short courses if you fancy just doing something for a bit of a hobby.
Okay.
Come and have a chat, come visit us and see if we can find the right course for you.
And how do people get in touch with you?
We've got sparsholt.ac.uk.
Yep.
We have a sparsholt.horticulture Instagram page.
Okay.
Please come follow us and see what we've been up to over the week.
Chloe Hard with one of your lecturers here. What's the best bit about being at SparShot?
Well, I would say the support network.
Okay.
It's been amazing because obviously I've got two kids.
Yes.
It's difficult having that balance to life and going to college before and university. There's nothing that compares.
Yeah.
The support, and they're all passionate. They're not afraid to go over things over and over again. The patience they have is insane.
Brilliant.
And they are just amazing.
How long have you got left on your course?
Literally, this is it.
Really?
And then I'm done.
Brilliant. Well, when do you get your results?
Oh, when is that, Lucy? I don't know.
Be August when the GCSE results come out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got to wait. Yeah.
So you've done your exams?
Yeah, I've done my exams.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is a nice treat for you, though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, a little celebration, I guess.
Who's the most famous person you've seen so far?
I haven't actually seen anyone.
Have you not?
Think.
You need to get out there.
I know.
Well, I was set a bit of a mission by my daughter to get as many celebrity interviews as I can.
Okay.
So, Nick Grimshaw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had a lovely picture with Nick. Prue Leith.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And somebody called C-Matt, pop star, who'd have known it?
We've been chatting about plants in here around our garden. We've just got lost in it, I'm afraid.
I love it. I love it. Well, listen, the very best of luck today,
guys.
Lovely to speak to you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
I'm joined down in the balcony gardens with Amar and Tom from Children with Cancer UK charity. Good afternoon, gents.
Good afternoon.
Tom, you don't look old enough to be a garden designer. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can say that. I get that a lot, yeah.
I can imagine. 24?
24, yeah.
And this is your first trip to Chelsea?
First trip to Chelsea, but 2 years ago I was a young designer at Tatton Flower Show.
Amazing.
And we got a silver medal for the garden we designed there.
Brilliant. I was saying that, Amar, whilst you were talking earlier, these gardens seem much more in reach to sort of the general public. What was your inspiration for this garden?
Well, the inspiration is come from working with the charity up in North Yorkshire when they're building their retreat. And because it's an old farm site, we wanted to reuse as many materials from that site to build this balcony garden.
Is it all recycled here?
Most of it, yeah. Excluding the planting, the planters and the planting. It's all recycled, yeah.
Yeah. Amar, Tom's just mentioned the farm in Yorkshire. Talk to me about that.
Okay, so we're a 36-year-old charity.
Mm-hmm.
34 years ago, we brought a new board in, and we decided, as one of our pillars of the charity, is about welfare.
Yeah.
In the past, we've worked with other charities, which is no bad thing, but we're maturing, we're getting to a critical mass and a critical size now, where we feel we should have something of our own. And as part of our cornerstone, we decided that we will go with Raines Farm up in Yorkshire.
Okay.
Right now it's under renovation. We want to make it the best experience for families that are going through this dreadful time of their children being diagnosed, whether they've been early diagnosis, going through treatment or post-treatment. And then there's also the small percentage of parents who are bereaved. Somewhere for them to go, be with other people who've gone through that same mile they've walked, and take a break, really. Whilst they're taking a break, we're embracing them and we're building the future through our research work we do.
And Tom, how have you got involved with the charity?
Well, I'm local to the site up at Raines Farm.
Okay.
And they've chosen me from my past experience and being local. That's important because all of the trades up there, it's a local job. So I've come in, helped them with the design work, and I'm doing the landscaping. So there's a big focus on the natural landscape. So we've got nature trails, we've got orchards, we've got allotment space, we've got kind of sanctuary gardens, lots of water. There is a pond, so there's lots of wildlife. There again, with the allotment and the greenhouses, we're growing veg, so families who come, go, they can sow seeds, they can pick vegetables.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, Amar, you were saying, you know, from your family background, but getting your hands in the soil is so cathartic, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I'm Indian origin, and I come from a farming background where it was always the ethos of my grandparents of, if you want to get close to nature, put your hands into Mother Earth and feel, right?
Yeah.
So I also want to pass that forward and pay that forward, not just having the gardens up there, having the growing of vegetables and fruit up there. It's feeding the next family coming through as well.
Yeah.
So it's a pay it forward in a way for us as well.
So how long do the families stay with you up on the farm?
Putting all our service deliveries together right now, it's a break. So it's a holiday, yeah. It's a small break.
Yeah.
So I imagine people will take a week out because some of these children are in treatment, so they can't be away for too long. But others will be taking a break because it's term time and stuff. So all of that is yet to be worked out. More details to come. But one thing we want to do is use the platform here to raise the awareness of the charity, but also start getting the message out. What's key for me, seeing how young Tom is, everybody's notable how young he is, because we're on a podcast, but he's very young. But at the same time, it's about aspiring young other people to get involved, not just gardening, but landscaping. But also, when they visit the retreat, there'll be young children who haven't thought about gardening, haven't got a garden. And looking at the space we have on a balcony, which is limited space, they can go home and start growing, and it is therapeutic.
If people want to get in touch with you guys or be involved with the charity, how do we get in touch?
They can get involved by going onto our website, Children with Cancer. If you just Google that, we'll be the first thing that comes up.
Amazing. Amazing. It's a brilliant cause. It's a lovely garden, Tom. You super proud of it?
Super proud, and I'm glad everyone is liking it so far.
No, brilliant. The very best of luck with the medals tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow morning. Thank you.
Good man. Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Steve. Cheers.
What an amazing day. I had an absolute blast. It's been such an exciting day. Met some really interesting people. And I just wanted to say a big thanks to the people that I spoke to, including Kate Cottrell from She Grows Veg, Anne-Marie Powell, Baz Granger, the lovely Prue Leith, C-Matt, the up-and-coming Irish musician. She was lovely. A little bit out of her comfort zone. It was daylight, for example. Darren Everest. You know, I've spoke to Darren a few times and it was really interesting to talk to him about his sweet peas. And also a big thanks to Amar and Tom from Children with Cancer UK. An amazing cause and a lovely little balcony garden. Tom, only being 24, a young designer, really going places, I'm sure. And Sparshot College as well. Really interesting, again, to talk to those guys. A big thanks to everybody and especially a big thanks to Hector's. My shirt was certainly a head turner and I wouldn't have spoken to Prue Leith without it. So thank you very much. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Join me next time where I continue my journey through Chelsea talking to some more interesting people. Thanks for listening. Happy gardening.
Growing Together is new twice a month and supported by DeMello and Company. Financial advice for you, your family and your future. Get the latest editions of Growing Together at any time at shineradio.uk. This is Shine Radio, made in Petersfield by
Gareth,
Claire,
Geoff,
Beth
and you.
To join us, email team at shineradio.uk or call or WhatsApp us on 01730 555 500.
Join our team and make it shine at the radio station made by you.
You make it shine, Shine Radio.